Welcome to the Grace Hour Show. My name is Jesse. We're joined along with Zane. We thank you for joining us today, this Wednesday morning, noon, sometime around there. You might be listening. Maybe you're listening at night. Maybe you're listening a year from now. This week, we're talking about spiritually alive. And if you are enjoying our shows, please just follow, maybe share with a brother. We talk about a lot of different array of topics. Maybe, you know, you had a conversation with somebody recently and you're like, oh, wow, I remember, you know, we just hit on a week of this. Yeah. Literally, we have a full week of different topics that we hit and we rehearse things. And yeah, just send it out and you never know what it can do. And if recommendations too as well, you know, different things you like. Maybe you want to add things we like to hear, right? Yep. We like to hear what the audience is thinking.
For sure.
So we thank you, audience, for joining us. Again, this is a Spiritually Live this week. Amen. Spiritually Live. What a great, yes.
We are.
Yes. To be alive is one thing. We all are alive technically, but there's a difference between being spiritually alive. And we get the topic of what are these signs of a living faith? How do we know in our own lives that we have a living faith? Maybe how do we see living faith in others? These are different topics and points that we'll get to hit on today. Zane Turk in the building.
Good to be here again.
He's going to give us some signs right now. Give us a sign, Zane.
Get out the magic tricks. Here we go.
No.
We got the word. Signs of a living faith. I think this is a great topic.
Yeah.
And we kind of have a baseline, Ephesians 2, 1 through 6, 1 through 7. Just being spiritually alive, you know, and what are the signs of a living faith? We can just start it off with where we've been hitting it a couple times earlier this week, just in the garden, you know, starting in the garden.
You go back to the garden?
We gotta go back to the garden.
Justin challenged the garden man.
I know, he's the garden man. He is. But we have that very insightful passage in Genesis 3 that really sets the stage, Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, that really sets the stage for the rest of the Bible and the rest of our understanding about this topic, what it means, because really faith is the antithesis of the spiritual death that we had in the garden. Mm-hmm. Faith is what made us alive. Colossians 2:12, it says that through faith we were raised again. Let's read that real quick. I mean, we can just
say Colossians.
Yeah, Colossians 2. Verse 12, it says that we were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. So faith is what raised us with him again. Faith is that thing that God chose in Ephesians 2:6, that you are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the thing that brought us out of our spiritual death. And when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were separated from God. Mm-hmm. They were alienated from his life. And I think that a great way to understand this is that they were left alone in the cosmos to make their own decisions, right? They were left alone in the world to make their own decisions. And what do you and I use on a daily basis to make our decisions? We use our senses.
Oh,
yeah. Right? Yeah. We use our iPhone. We use AI. We use ChatGPT. But we use our five senses, right? We have our smell. We have our touch, our taste, our sight, what we hear. So, Isaiah 11 brings great insight when it says that Jesus did not decide based on what he saw or based on what he heard. Right? So Jesus had a higher way of making decisions and making judgments, not by what he saw or what he heard, but by what he discerned through what his Father would give him. Mm-hmm. So he had another way, but in this life, when we're spiritually dead, when we're outside of that life with God, we're left alone, to decide by our senses, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that, we are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. right? And the Spirit is what undertook that death in the fall of man. So we are left alone with body and soul. So the five senses correlate to our body, our physical body, but then the five parts of our soul correlate to that other part of man, which is his soul. Now, in the fall, our spirit was dead, but our soul remained alive, right? Our mind, our will, and emotions.
Yeah.
And those three parts of us, our mind, our will, and our emotions, are very susceptible to being deceived.
Well, yeah.
Right? And so that's what Satan did in the garden, Genesis 3:1. He was more crafty than any other beast of the field, more cunning. So he deceived man and women in those three parts of their soul, the mind, will, and emotions. Mm-hmm. Now, why are we going, like, taking this roundabout way? But the signs of a living faith, is that faith is it's a lifestyle, and it takes us beyond reason. Faith is a little bit deeper than reason. It's another level. And, that's how we are able to navigate in this life that we have. We have something more than, what we perceive or see or hear, but we have the word of faith. And we have the Holy Spirit, which teaches us in this life. We have the grace of God, which is another teacher. But these are things that are in our life that are beyond reason, and they're beyond our senses or our soul life, the mind, will, and the emotions. We have a life from outside of ourselves, and that's when our spirit is made alive. In Ephesians 2:1, we're able to receive from God in a new way beyond these normal, natural parts of our life. Now, I think we said a lot just there, but maybe if you want to unpack some of that, I can just hand it over to you and maybe just talk a little bit about the spiritual death and how faith is the opposite of that, or whatever's on your mind after that.
Yeah, no, you have gave us a whole
boatload. We got the building blocks, the foundation.
Maybe like first, like what you were saying, just like I thought just like faith goes beyond. Like I like that point.
Yeah.
Like faith like goes the extra mile kind of. Because we're believing in a living God who's active and working, and he's working through us. You also said about what was the Colossians 2, right?
Yeah.
That by baptism.
Yeah, 2:12. It says, we are buried with him in baptism, and you were also raised with him through faith.
Yeah, and I like that, like, because it's a verse that we're pulling from in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He says, you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so we all know that, you know, after the fall, you know, now we've become led by, you know, the soul and the body and my emotions and all these things that can easily be deceived by something outside of me or even myself. And I could reason with that. And there's no room, there's no faith there. And so right there, I'm just dead. You know, I'm producing it from my flesh and myself, and I'm just living in this life. And but he says we are all dead in trespasses and in sins. Yeah. But I love that word quicken, though, you know, like we are quickened. We are joined together, it really means. And that's what like Christ has done to the dead man. And this is what we're focusing on, right? The signs of a living faith, like the living, what are those signs? And I mean, the first point is, it's just like we are joined together. It is Christ working through us. And so now, because we are joined with him, we now receive his righteousness. We receive his love. We receive his grace, his mercy, and we are beneficiaries of that. And it's not anything that we have done. And so that's why this thing called faith is such an amazing topic, and there's so much we can say about it. But I like the fact that we can think about, now I'm not this dead person, or I'm not living by my emotions. And that is a whole process, you know, itself. And the faith will be tested and all these things. But, to know that I am joined with Christ, you know, I can be quickened in my natural man, and I could be born again or in the spirit in a moment. I think that's a beautiful thing. And to read that second verse, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit now that works in the children of disobedience, whom among also we had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. There it is. Like, there's the body, right? The flesh and of the mind. There's the body and the soul right there. And we were all walking according to that. And, but I love it in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And then verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together, made alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. And so it comes through Christ. Like, through Christ, the believer is made alive. How can I become made alive? It is through Christ. To point out this, I think one of the first fruits that we could maybe think about is love. Like, what is a sign of living faith is that there's going to be love in that person's life, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be love for what? There's going to be love for people. There's going to be love for the Word of God. And these are, like, different points we could talk about. Like, do you have anything on the love, a sign of love? Like, why would love be a sign in someone who has living faith?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, if we just think about that verse that you just read, that verse 3 of Ephesians 2, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. I'm reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. I don't know, what do you have there, Jesse?
This is New King James.
New King James, okay. We need to be equally yoked.
I love them both. I'll pull up anything right here. Come on.
That's a good point. You asked the question, what do we love, or how is love a sign of a living faith? But
yeah,
those who are living in the flesh or living in the passions of the flesh, and they're carrying out the desires of the body, they pretty much love themselves, yeah, right? That's the only thing that they can love. Maybe they could love their dog, but when it comes to my dog or me, I'm going to choose me. Or when it comes to my family or me, I'm going to choose me. Or when it comes to my spouse and me,
yeah,
I'm going to choose me, right? What is the root of all sin? It's pride, but also pride is that I'm the most important and I'm going to do whatever it takes to serve myself, right? Yeah. And that's their frame of reference, the people who are spiritually dead, is that they can only carry out the desires of the body and the mind. They can only serve themselves. They don't have the capacity to love others, and they don't have a capacity to lay down their life.
Wow.
Right? So I think that's an important sign of a living faith, is that we would have love for something other than what is in our interests, right? Philippians 2, 3, and 4, is that they look upon the interests of others more than the interests of themselves. And that's the mind of Christ. So that's like a great mark, like you were saying, a mark of living faith is love. Yeah. Love for something other than myself. Love for God, actually. And that's a good point. Like, a side note maybe is that sentimentality is a very deceiving sin, in that I could love something other than myself, but maybe it's not in God's priority, right? So first, our love is for God. Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And that's the greatest commandment. And when we do that, then we get our priorities straight.
And John 14 says, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. And then we have Galatians 5:6, faith working through love. And so a living faith will be working through love, and that is Christ. And if you have that love and relationship with him, you know, then, you know, when it comes down to it, we have a direction to go. And the opportunity comes and says, all right, Lord, do I just listen to myself and just go with whatever feels right? Or can I say, like, all right, Lord, like how will you want me to go? Like, can you hear that from God and can you act upon that? And that is love, because it's not thinking about yourself, because Christ could totally lead you a different way. And that's what he usually does, like throughout the scripture, yeah. Like, you know, love your enemy, you know, forgive somebody, you know, if someone yeah. smites you, you know, yeah. get turn the other cheek, all these different things.
Yeah. And maybe that's just to interject, that's a great segue into like Romans 10:17. That's kind of a baseline for our conversation as well, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ.
Yeah.
So how do we have a living faith? But we have to hear. We have to hear the word of Christ. And it says in Hebrews 4:2 that they didn't enter the promised land because they didn't unite with faith those things that they heard. Mm. Right? They didn't mix faith with what they heard. So mixing faith with the word is an important aspect of yeah. our new life, right? And that, again, what word is it? But it's the word of Christ. Like we started off in the beginning, when Adam and Eve fell, they were separated from the life of God, and they were left to themselves, right? They were left to make decisions based out of the five senses, which correlates with their physical body. And they were left to make decisions based on their own mind, will, and emotions, which correlates to their soul. But faith, very important, faith is how I respond to God in my spirit. It's on the third level. It's mm-hmm. that deepest part of man that was created for fellowship with God.
Third level, you mean like the spirit?
Yeah,
like you're saying, okay.
The spirit, yep. So it's body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, mm-hmm. that we would be sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit is made alive. Mm-hmm. That's where God quickens us, in the spirit.
Yeah.
And that's where we respond by faith to the word, Romans 10:17.
Yeah.
And the case of the Israelites when they were going to the promised land, they didn't mix faith with what God had promised. And that's why they were unable to enter. Mm-hmm. So hearing the word of Christ, that's how we have faith, and mixing faith, believing, trusting with what God says, that is one of the signs of a living faith, is that we would mix, that we would believe God's promise, that we would trust him and act based on what God says. And that's an important point, yeah. because what the unregenerate man does not have, in that we have an outside source from the word of God, from the mouth of God, from the voice of God, from outside of ourselves. And I don't know if you want to make a comment.
Yeah.
On that.
It reminds John 6. This is good. John 6:57. He says, as the living Father, there's living. He's a living God, has sent me, and I live by my Father. So he that eats me, even he shall be, shall live by me. And then it drops. This is when it comes down to, like, the disciples left. It's like, this is a hard saying. Who can hear? And if you drop down to verse 62, he then says, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. So now he's saying, what if you saw me go up, you know, back up where I was? But he's saying, with his response, this means that, like, you know, it's not alone by what you see, you know, like when I in Acts, was it Acts 1, when I ascended back up, like it wasn't by you looking up that you believed. It's yeah. not by the miracles that you believe. It's not by, like you're saying, what I can see, one of my senses,
yeah.
like faith is outside that. Mm. And then he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. Now he says, the words that I speak.
Yes.
Like there it is. It's the words that I speak. It's faith comes by hearing. Okay. The words that I speak, the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit that is able to make me alive. Then it says, that I speak unto you, they are spirit, these words, and they are life. So if I hear, you know, if I hear the words of God, If I'm actually hearing and not worried about the sight and all that, because he could ascend, he could do miracles, but it will not change our inner, our third what level, like you're saying, it won't affect the spirit, but these words, they're from the spirit, and I got to be quick to hear. And that reminds me of different things. I was thinking of the blind man in John 9. He said, go and wash, you know, at the pool of Siloam. And he heard words from Christ, and he was still blind. He couldn't see.
Yeah.
What did he do? He went by faith, and he went and washed at the pool. There's a man with a withered hand too as well. I think that's in Mark somewhere. Mark, he says, hold out your hand. The man with the withered had to hold out his hand. So we hear the words from Christ. And then it's supposed to, faith will produce action in my life because of what I've heard.
Yeah.
And so very interesting. And then I would ask maybe a question for you, and then you could pick it up. But like, what about those, like the Pharisees who, you know, they're living in the word, you know, they're hearing these, they're living in the Old Testament, the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Like they're able to hear the word, but it's not profiting them at all.
Yeah.
And they're actually using it in a way that is against what it's supposed to, like they're misinterpreting it in a way. Or
wow, that's a great point. I mean, I love that you brought that up, because Jesus, doesn't he say to them that you are whitewashed tombs, right?
Yeah,
but inside you're full of dead man's bones.
My dad called, I talked to my dad last week, and he's like teaching me this scripture. Yeah. I'm like, Father God, fill me up, bro. Yeah. It was so good though.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, and isn't that something that that Satan loves to use, but religion? And that's such a good antithesis to consider and contemplate right now, because the antithesis of religion is a living faith. Like, we're not caught up in a religious method or a religious system, but hearing these words of Christ, like the withered hand becomes restored.
Yeah.
The blind man actually sees. There is some sort of a victory that we have in our life.
Good.
Because it's a living faith. And I don't want to get caught up in a religious mindset. I think that we can never do that. We can never get caught up in that religion, right? The Pharisees, they had the same words. They had the long prayers. I think we talked about this last week. Yeah. But they have those outward external measurements by which men think that's a religious person, but they did not have the living faith. And the living faith was what changes me on the inside. The living faith is what causes me to love God, right? There's the affection. There's the desire for him. There's the victory, right? Everything that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is what overcomes the world, our faith, 1 John 5:4. So one of the signs of a living faith is that I have some sort of victory in my life, that it is real. It's there. Right? Like you were saying, the blind man sees, the withered hand is restored.
Yeah.
But the religious Pharisees, they have the word of God, they have the law, but they don't have the life, right? The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. They're not mixing faith with what they hear.
Wow.
They don't have the heart of God, right? They can go to Lazarus's tomb, but they don't weep. Right. They can go to the cross, but they're not worshiping. They're actually there to crucify Jesus. And what is the heart of it? But the heart of it is that Jesus knew what was in man, and he knew the heart of man. He knew the wickedness of man, and he would know their sin. And they hated that because he knew, because they also said, the Pharisees said, that no one has authority like this. We've never heard anyone speak like this, right? The Pharisees, they sent someone to go talk to Jesus, and then those men came back and they said, we've never heard anybody speak like this.
Wow.
So they hated his authority. They hated his power. And that power comes from faith, right? A life of faith will actually produce power in my life, authority in my life, right? What authority will it give me? But maybe it will give me authority over myself. That's a big one, right? Because isn't that a fruit of the spirit is self-control?
Yeah.
That I'm not a slave to my sin. but I'm actually free, and I have, by faith, I have victory over myself in the sense that Jesus is working in my life. The Spirit can deliver me in entirety as much as I would live by faith. Right. Wow. Faith is this amazing thing. It's not religious. And I love that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because it's real. It's living. Religion is dead. Right. Mm. James 1, it says that this is true and pure religion, that you would serve the widows and the fatherless. That's religion. But there is a dead religion that many have turned away from. But the true religion is that which is done by faith.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So
I have a, maybe with a Hebrews 11, like you talked about, like there will be victory. And I agree. Maybe we could like hit on that for a minute, because maybe there's somebody listening out here who's been going by faith and like hasn't had that victory yet, you know? And, you know, I think it's important. So in Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God or please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking like, okay, a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. So if like I'm going by faith and I'm seeking him, like there should be a victory or a reward or something, an outcome produced by that. And I think about that, but it could take time. You could be going by faith and you could not be maybe seeing the fruit or, you know, the results of it. Like it does take time. Yeah. And, if you see through like the examples in, Hebrews 11, you have Enoch. Like that's an interesting one. What does it say about Enoch? I thought it was very interesting. Oh yeah. Verse 5, but by faith. So what does Enoch's faith produce? It was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Like, interesting. Like, his faith ended up producing him not dying, not seeing death in the end. Like, what was the fruit or the reward for Enoch? I mean, how long did Enoch live? I don't know at the top of my head, but it was a long time.
900 something years.
Maybe. Yeah. It's just like, wow. Like that is what the faith chapter points out. Like that's what produces faith.
Yeah.
And you go through Abraham, you go through Noah. Noah built the ark for, you know, a long time. Like these, I'm just showing the examples of like just faith. These faith heroes, they went by faith, but their fruit didn't come. Yeah. God was with them the whole time and taught them and, you know, done many different things through their life, but the overall fruit or the reward at the time took a long time. And so, and then I think the key point is like, what is a living faith? Like what is a sign of that is endurance. Is patience, like a fruit of the Spirit. Like the faith doesn't crumble and fail. In Hebrews 10:36, he says, you have need of endurance. This is just before the faith chapter. You have need of patience or endurance, that after you have done the will of God, then you might receive the promise. This is like faith. Faith is an action, and it's not looking for a reward or looking for a pat on the back or nothing. It's doing it just to the glory of God and just doing it because God said it, you know? And so, faith should have endurance. This is a sign of a living faith, that it just doesn't crumble at the first, you know, trial or second trial that comes in my life. Like, know that it's going to take time, and that is true faith. That is a sign of true faith, is endurance.
Yeah. And
longevity.
And the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. Right.
Yes.
They said, increase our faith. I think that's me sometimes, like, God, increase my faith.
Yes.
But Jesus actually, he kind of, rebukes them in a sense. Mm. He said, actually, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be plucked up and uprooted and cast into the sea. So to your point that faith, it takes endurance. But it also doesn't take a lot of faith.
Amen.
And how do we measure it? You know, but we measure it by the quality of it. That, could I trust God a little bit? Could I trust him in this moment? Right.
Yeah.
I don't think faith is really measured in quantity as much as it is in the moment of faith. Is there a moment of faith where I trust God? Right.
My baseball coach used to always say, quality over quantity.
Quality over quantity.
Quality. Yep. Quality at bats. Quality practice reps over quantity. That's good.
Yeah, and Jesus says, if you have a mustard seed of faith, that's actually so encouraging.
It is.
You know, because the question is, could I live by faith in the moment? Could I live by faith right now? Mm. Could I trust God to repent? Could I trust God enough to repent of the sin that I'm trying to overcome? Right? Could I get up? The righteous man falls seven times a day, but he gets back up. Yeah. And the wicked fall by calamity. Mm. So faith is a mustard seed, and it's in the moment. And we know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Yeah. Hebrews 12:2. He is the author of it. He started the book. He wrote page one. He wrote the introduction, and he's also going to write the last page. Author and the finisher of our faith. And we know Galatians 2:20, probably all of us by heart, but it's no longer I who live, but live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's his faith.
Yes.
It's a mustard seed, and we're just partaking in Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So that's an encouragement to us today, is that how do we measure our life? Are we measuring by our victories or our failures? Mm. No. God is not measuring that way, but he's measuring by the moment of faith. Being spirit-filled right now as we speak, as we're talking, as we're listening to this, living by faith in that exact moment. Mm. Not quantity, but the quality.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. I think maybe another sign we could think of, what is another sign of a living faith? Like you're saying, quality. And I think I think just those who are like hunger and thirst after righteousness is a way to, I'm thinking about it. And what is righteousness? Who is righteousness? But that is Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says Christ is righteousness for us and many different things, but righteousness is him. And so I see a person who, a sign of a living faith, I feel like a sign is he just loves Jesus and he pursues after him, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Or Jesus says to the disciples, come and see, and he follows, like he acknowledges, like we said before, the word, like he loves the word of God, but he loves Jesus and he has a heart after God and after righteousness. Maybe if you could talk about that, like what is like, yeah, like how do you say, wow, that man loves Jesus? Like,
yeah.
Like not a dead person is going to love Jesus, know? It has to be, that is a fruit of the Spirit. It's just love. And do I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? And no, I don't. But like Christ in me, like you said, produces that in me. And I grow fonder of Jesus where I want to be at his feet. I want to listen to the words rather than serve. Mm-hmm. I want to take a break from all the outside. And I just want to sit at church on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
They come on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. You know, I start doing these things out of love because I know how much I need him.
Yeah.
And I don't need myself, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think when I see somebody who really loves Jesus, a mark that I often see is weakness, actually. Like that somebody is very comfortable in their own weakness, in their brokenness. Wow. That they don't have to be strong, but they are okay in their weakness, you know, that they know they don't have it all together, maybe that they're not the brightest bulb, or maybe they're not putting on a show. And when I can see that somebody's not putting on a show, but that they love Jesus and they're okay in their weakness because they are so resting in God's grace. They're not pretending or faking, but they're very honest. I think that is a mark of somebody that I say that, like, I can tell that they love Jesus, and that's very important to me, you know?
Yeah.
But weakness really does require faith, because it requires faith that God is my strength, that he is my life, that he will fight for me, that he will lift me up, that I stand and fall before him alone. Right. So, yeah, I think a sign of a living faith is also weakness in one sense. 2 Corinthians 12:9, right? My grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yes.
Right. Wow. So somebody who has faith in God is okay being weak because they know it doesn't depend on them.
Wow.
And they know it depends on God.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Like a true brokenness. I like that a lot. You know, like you'll see him. He has a broken heart for, you know, the lost. He has the heart of God, you know?
Yeah.
And you see that living through him because Jesus, when he was on this earth, just that was, he was just a broken man.
Yeah.
Always had to go to the Father in prayer, like, all right, you guys are not stressing me out, but you guys are like, you guys don't get, you're always asking these questions. Yeah, I keep having to repeat myself. Yeah. Let me go to the Father. I need to receive and come back. And then he's weeping, you know, for the Jews. He's weeping. And he's just caring for people and broken for the poor, for the needy, you know, and then there's these upper class people who are looking down upon him, and he's content and he's loving being broken in a way because this is how he came. He came just a broken man. He was
he carried our sorrows.
Yeah. Man of sorrows. Thank you. I was thinking about that. And man of sorrows.
Yeah.
And that should, and that because we are feeding upon righteousness, Christ, because Christ is living with us, then we should also resemble. He was a man of sorrows.
Yeah.
We should resemble. We should, there should be sorrow in your life, you know, for, you know, appropriate sorrow. Maybe there's a
compassion. Right.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And a part of that as well, is that another thing we were discussing is Isaiah 7, that there's a verse in Isaiah 7 and it's, let's see, it's verse 9. It says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Mm. Isaiah 7, verse 9. So along with that brokenness and that weakness comes the strength of conviction, right? A sign of a living faith is that somebody has conviction. They're firm in their faith.
Yeah,
I know. But Paul said on the boat at Acts 27, he said, I believe it will be as God has said, right? I believe it will be like this, you know, like nobody's going to lose their life. We're all going to make it. 276 passengers, we're all going to make it. I believe it will be as he said.
Wow.
Right? So there's a firmness in the faith. Everyone forsaken me, but Christ was with me. He stood with me, right? Paul says that Christ stood with me. He was firm in his faith, right? Mm-hmm. Moses, he in Hebrews 11, he forsook Egypt. He chose to suffer. He was looking towards the reward and he was not afraid of the king's edict, right? Mm-hmm. He was not afraid. There comes a firmness when we live by faith. There is that brokenness and the weakness and compassion like Christ had, but also Christ went straight to the cross, right? Isaiah 50 verse 7, he said, I set my face like a flint. And in Luke 9:51, he set his face towards Jerusalem. He was firm. He wasn't going to change. He flipped the tables. He upheld the righteousness of God, and he was firm in faith. So there is this aspect of our lives when we grow in maturity that we can take on the discernment of God. And when there's sin, we call it like it is, you know?
Yeah.
But we're also right there like God is to pick up the sinner who is in repentance, right? So we have this nature of God that starts forming in us when we live by faith. We kind of have both of those things in our life.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's Luke 9. It talks about the foundation, like you're saying. Like, you know, it says two foundations. One is built on sand, the other is on rock. And I was reading and I was intrigued because the guy who built it upon rock, he had to dig for it first. Like, he had to get the sand out first. Yeah. The other guy, he just put it on the sand. He was like, I'm not doing no digging.
Yeah.
no foundation. We're good. This is a good foundation.
A little bit quicker.
Quicker, easier. Yeah. That's a good point. But for like faith, it digs, you know, and it's looking for the foundation because, you know, my life can be in shambles. And maybe this is like a daily choice too, to make sure I'm laying it upon a firm foundation and that I'm daily, you know, asking God to, Lord, I want to have a living faith, you know, and I ask him and he hears, and just, to rehearse these promises in our minds and let it bring forth action in my life and brokenness in my life. Like, nobody wants to be broken naturally.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants that at all. But it's amazing to see, like, the disciples, how in Acts, just like how they live that broken life. Yeah. They're always, you know, in the word, in prayer, in unity with one another, planning churches, you know, preaching to, you know, crowds, but preaching to the one, you know, and they had such a unique way of living right after Christ died that, it's bold. And that's what you're kind of saying there. Like, faith is actually bold. It takes a stand and it doesn't back down.
Yeah. Like, Abraham left and he went to a land he didn't know. Yeah.
Where are you going?
Where are you going, Abraham?
Like, Abraham.
He's what? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going.
Uncle Jack's outside. Where you going?
Yeah.
Yeah. But wow.
But it's a bold move. Sometimes it's a bold decision. Right?
Yeah.
And maybe people around me are questioning it.
Yeah.
Like Abraham, he went to a land he didn't know. Mm. And also another point is that a living faith is not necessarily something I can gauge on an emotional level. It's not based off of feeling. Faith is not based off of feeling, but it's based off of the word. It's based off of a life in the spirit, you know? And obedience, actually.
Yeah.
Right? Faith oftentimes is being obedient to the word of God, right? And it's being obedient when I don't feel like it. You know? And that's like a life at the cross, is that it's obedience. It's laying down something close to me. So a living faith is something I could, like, idolize in one sense and say I should always feel like I'm walking on the clouds. Mm. But actually, if we think about it in reality, that faith is a life where we mix our trust with what God says, and that's not always going to feel good. But the amazing provision is that because it's like this, we can make this decision every day. We can decide to live by faith every day. And it's a flow of life. A faith life is a flowing life. It's like flowing from the throne of God. What do I mean by that? But I mean that it's made up of different decisions in my life, but it's always something I can rest in. Mm. It's always something I can rest in. You know, it's not going from event to event, but it's a flow of life. It's a constant flow. Like John 7, Jesus said, come to me if you're thirsty, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Mm. In the different emotions of life, emotions go up and down, but a life of faith is solid, consistent, and flowing. And it's from God, actually. So it's an amazing thing. I think that maybe a misconception could be in our day and age with younger people, who are, maybe our generation is more addicted to the dopamine levels of phone usage and the high of everyday life that we're searching for. We can be searching for those emotional highs, but actually obedience, waiting on God, trusting in him, listening to his still small voice is a maturity that we develop.
Yeah.
And it's a life of faith where we hear his word and we mix faith with it.
That's amazing.
So,
wow. That was great thoughts. And maybe I'll just end with this. It's just a little saying, the living word spoken, right? The word is living, and a living God, God's living, will produce a living faith, will then cause life in the believer. So, you know, there's these, God has given us all the tools. He's given us the word. He's given us himself. He gives us the body too as well. And, it'll produce a living faith in us. And, there's so much to talk about. But yeah. Luke 6, I know Luke 9, he was saying just like how the master, you know, it's not greater. The servant's not greater than his master. And that the servant will resemble actually his master or his teacher in a way. And, like faith we talked about today, as it it is inward. It is a lot inwardly, but it is also like outwardly too as well. Like the fruits of the Spirit inward in my life. But then there's actual disciples or different fruit in my life that'll come of it and will show that it is a living faith. And so, it is amazing that, you know, that just God just loves us and just that we could receive that and take each day, you know, day by day, by faith, you know. So closing thoughts, closing words, Zane.
I just hope this helps and encourages everyone listening. And
yeah,
a living faith. We have it. It's given by God's grace, and it's our new life with the Spirit. So,
and it's great to see in other people, you know, you could really see it, you know, how can we say like, oh, that man's a, he's a faithful person, or he's a faithful father, or she's a faithful, you know, servant or mother. You know, it produces, you know, works, outward works. And it's amazing to have people like that in our lives too as well, who are broken, who are humble, who love Jesus, because then it's effectual and it's living and it starts to activate in other people. And people see that and notice that. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Like I said, share it, subscribe, like. We appreciate all that are listening, and we hope you are benefiting from this living word and living faith. And maybe send testimonies of your living faith in action, different things. Maybe someone that you've seen or a brother living in faith. Text that in the comments. We want to hear living faith signs, okay? God bless, and thank you for joining. Amen.